Amen. Just want to remind you, during the snowy weather, on a snowstorm like this, don't enter or exit the doors here. We'll clean them off tomorrow and get them salted down. But on these kind of days, I'd just rather have you not use them stairs and so forth. So use a ramp if you need to, and or the downstairs during the snowy times, if you will. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, that great chapter of the Bible. It's a great Bible chapter, if you will. Longest chapter in the Bible. Of course, in this chapter, and I'm not going to go through it all this morning, but just a little bit of a few statements here. The Word of God is referred to several different terms here. One of them is the law. Another one is testimonies. Another one is precepts. Another one is statutes. Commandments is another one. Judgments, word, and ordinances. There's eight different references to the Word of God in this particular chapter, though we won't be necessarily talking about that this morning. Just a little bit of food for thought. I'm kind of working on something for this year, maybe surrounding this chapter, but anyways. But we're gonna stand, we're gonna read verses 1 through 8 responsively, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. So let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'll read and then you read. And our text verse will be verse number 7. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Oh, keep thy statutes, oh, forsake me not utterly. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for this great chapter here in the Bible that you put there right in the middle of the Word of God. We thank you for it. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless this message. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd guide my mind and my lips this morning. I pray you give me clarity. Pray, God, speak to hearts. May we leave here, walk out of this church closer to you than when we came this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to just preach to you a little while on the subject, some resolves for the new year. Some resolves for the new year. Here we are at the beginning of a new year, January 3rd. And at this time of year, it's kind of a time where many will make resolutions. We kind of decide, if you will, we're going to try to do better. In many different areas, we might make a whole list of different things, or maybe a short list of different things that we would like to do better. Resolutions aren't all bad, and let me preface it by saying this: if you're gonna go ahead and resolve to do something, Christian, you need the Holy Spirit to help you get it done. Amen. You can't do it in your own power, and so often, you know, why we fail to miss the mark, if you will, of the resolutions that we maybe write out at the end of December of the previous year is simply because we don't have God's power in our life enough to get the job done, if you will. But it's that time of year when we make resolutions. Perhaps your resolution, like many, maybe even a little more personal, is to lose weight. Let me ask you a question. How's it going? Okay? It hasn't started very well yet, for me anyways. Maybe you teenagers, you're going to decide to treat your siblings better. Amen? Not, okay. It may be that you're going to go ahead and get some of those jobs done around the house, husbands. Amen? You know, the jobs that your wife keeps saying, you know, the light bulb in the closet needs to be fixed, or the door frame needs to be put back up, or this room needs to be painted, or something like that. Not that I know any of that stuff, but anyways. But it might be that you're going to try to get some of those jobs done around the house. It may be that you're going to try to break a bad habit. Maybe it's biting your fingernails. Maybe it's something that's more unhealthy, like smoking or whatever. It may be some spiritual aspect. You're going to strive to read your Bible daily. That's a good one. And we ought to read our Bible daily. And again, if we're going to go ahead and get in the Word of God, make it a daily a part of our life, you're going to need God to help you to do it. It might be that you want to read through the Bible. I think reading through the Bible every year is a good goal. Boy, it doesn't take much. 15, 20 minutes a day, you'll be able to read through the Bible from January 1st to December 31st. Well, 15, 20 minutes, about an average, I believe, of 3 chapters a day, you can go ahead and read through the Bible. Maybe it's to make sure you're on your knees in prayer every single day. Maybe it's to make sure that you don't miss that prayer closet each and every day. Maybe walking with God will be more your priority. Maybe husband and wife, it's to get closer to your spouse. That's always a good thing. All these things are good and are definitely needed to be done, but you're going to go ahead and fulfill them in the power of God. If you go ahead and you don't ask God to help you, it ain't going to happen. I know you say, well, that's not good English. Well, it ain't going to happen. It's true, okay? It's not going to happen. You need to go ahead and have God to help you have some resolve, if you will. Resolve simply means coming to a determination or making up one's mind. If you're going to go ahead and read your Bible more this year, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to be determined, if you will, to go ahead and do it. If you're going to learn to get along well with others and get along better with others, or whatever the case may be, it's a whole host of different things. If you're going to quit something that you know may be a stumbling block in your life, you're going to have to go ahead and allow God to help you. You're going to have to be resolved. You're going to have to be determined. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to make up your mind to walk with God. You know, how often I said, I wish my Bible would just jump out to me each and every day. It doesn't do that. I have to go to it. Okay, and we need to go ahead and make up our mind to do the right things. I've often said, I think goals are good. I think you should set goals. I think also when you set goals, it's good, especially if you feel like you've had a hard time keeping goals, you ought to tell someone godly about that goal so they can pray with you about reaching that goal. You know what? Prayer will help you. You know how often I've talked to young people, Pastor, I want to go ahead and read through my Bible in a year. I want to go ahead and stay clean and pure. I want to live right. I want to read my Bible every day. And the truth of the matter is, and the reason why, and they'll tell me at the beginning of the year, that's my goal. The reason why they'll often come to me is because, Pastor, I want you to pray with me about it. You know what? Prayer, you get a band of people praying to help you reach a good godly goal, you'll get it done. It'll happen. You know, if you don't shoot, I often say, if we don't aim at a target, we'll never hit it. You know, boy, if your target is to read through the Bible in a year, boy, you know what? You shoot at it. You decide you're going to make it happen. You do whatever it takes to make it happen. Ask God to help you. Ask others to help you and encourage you, and don't you quit. As a pastor, I want resolve to do more for the cause of Christ. I want to grow in my spiritual life. I don't want to just remain status quo. I don't like status quo. I want to grow more in my spiritual life. I know there's more studying I can do. I know there's more praying that I can do. I know there's more Bible reading that I can do. I know there's more soul winning that I can do. I know there's more that I can do. I want our church to go ahead and have more influence in our area. I want to be resolved that our church is always the kind of church that it ought to be, preaching the Word of God, preaching the King James Bible, holding it up as the standard, dressing right, living right, having the right kind of music. I want to be resolved that we're going to win more souls to Christ this year. I want to be resolved that we're going to go ahead and do more for God. I want us to continue to grow, not just spiritually, though that's important. And I believe as we grow spiritually, God will take care of the numbers. You know, as we grow spiritually, I'm talking about you. Let me stomp on your toes for just a second here. It's been a little while, okay? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? You ought to desire to grow spiritually and walk with God and grow more and more. And let me tell you something, as God goes ahead and deals with us individually, God will take care of the numbers here. God will take care of the growth of the church. You know, and but we need to grow both spiritually. I believe we are, as we do that, we will grow numerically. We must keep on striving to be what God wants us to be without fainting. The Bible says in Isaiah, a very familiar verse, the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, that word wait does not mean we just sit back and wait for God to move. That word wait literally means you just keep on serving God, and God will then go ahead and do some moving. He'll continue, he'll move, but you know, God doesn't want a bunch of lazy Christians. You know, we shouldn't just sit back and do whatever and so forth. If we know that we have the stamina, if we know that we can go ahead and do something for God, well, we ought to go ahead and do it. We ought to be serving God. You stay faithful in that ministry. You stay faithful on that bus route. You stay faithful on captain. You stay faithful in driving that route. You stay faithful in that Sunday school class. You stay faithful in that nursery. You stay faithful in that choir. You stay faithful in your church attendance. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? We have that tendency to think, well, I'm just going to wait on God to see what he wants me to do. No, you get busy serving God, and he'll show you more. He'll cause you to grow more. You know, when we get weary, we have a tendency, we have this notion, well, I'm just going to step back a little bit. No. That's not what that verse says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, you keep on serving, God will give you the strength that you need. You keep on living for the Lord. You keep on soul winning. You keep on reading your Bible. You keep on praying. You know, God will give you the strength you need. God will give you what you need each and every day. We need to keep serving. We need to keep waiting on God as far as serving Him. And then He'll go ahead and do some wonderful things in your life. You keep busy. You keep soul winning. Keep reading that Bible. Keep raising them kids for the cause of Christ. What I'm saying, as you are trying to be determined in fulfilling some goals or have some resolve in fulfilling goals, let me just say this. As you are trying to be determined, you say, you know, at the first of the year, it's so easy to say, you know, I'm going to be determined to do this because I know it's right, and that's good. But you know what? Along about 4, 5, 6 days, or maybe, if you're lucky, about 2, 3 months into the year, you know, the old devil starts attacking. And maybe you can take some of his initial attacks, the first attacks a little bit, and let's God, I'm going to stay strong, I'm going to, you know. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, after a little while you start, you know, he keeps beating on you, giving you a left jab and a right jab and just keeps on beating on you. And you kind of, when's it going to end? The truth of the matter is you start getting tired. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of that ministry. I just can't keep reading my Bible. I'm just so tired. You know, God says, you know what? You want your strength renewed. You keep on waiting upon the Lord. You keep on serving Him. You be resolved to go ahead and live right and do right. You be determined. Husbands, fathers, you be resolved to keep on leading. You know, I say this and I don't say it enough. We need men today. I'm talking about men. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about men that'll get up, do the job, stay busy leading, stay busy serving, being a good example to your kids. Seems like every time we have every time we have some little pain or ache or whatever, we just, No, we need men today. We need to keep on suiting up every day the whole armor of God. We need some men to be fathers. We need men to go be husbands. We need to be resolved men and keep leading. Teachers, you resolve to keep on teaching. Mothers, you resolve to keep on mothering, even though sometimes it can be unbearable. You have 1, 2, 3 kids, it doesn't matter. You know, it gets noisy. Sometimes it gets loud. And sometimes, you start tearing your hair. I have to be careful of that. Oh, by the way, I'm on steroids. No, I know a lot of people. Let me, a little commercial here a minute. A lot of you have been concerned about why is my hair leaving me, okay? And it's not because I'm old. That it's not that at all. But a few months ago, it started coming out and so forth, and everybody says, you know, everybody seemed to know what it was. Alopecia. Okay, you know, and I said, I'll go to the doctor next week or next month or eventually. Finally, I went a few days ago. And it turned out to be that I'm healthy. Amen. I like that. That's always good news, you know. I'm not going to say how long it's been since I've been to the doctor. But I'm glad to know that I'm feeling good. I'm healthy. I'm strong. And then it was diagnosed, my hair falling out. It's alopecia. That's what it is. I don't know why it was really, why I have it or anything. But the truth of the matter is, so they give you a steroid cream. That's what it is. So my head seems to be getting bigger. You know what I mean? But you know what? No, regardless, it's working. My wife, I was so excited because she kind of dabs it on and so forth. She says, honey, it's working. It's growing. Oh, man. To be honest with you, I was excited about it. I really was. But anyways, where was I? How did I get off on that? But anyways, mothers, you just resolve to keep on mothering. You know, your kids need you. Your kids, you know, even as they get older, you know, moms and dads, let me just say this. And I'm realizing it because in just a few short months, I'm going to realize my first child is out the door, so to speak, as far as going to college and different things. And by the way, that's why we raise them. We raise them to go ahead and grow up, to go into the will of God and so forth. We're excited about that. But I'm not excited about my little girl leaving me. But you know what? Let me just say this. Boy, make it precious. Well, you just keep on fathering, you keep on mothering, you keep on nurturing. Church members, you resolve to continue to be faithful. You know, devil throw, you know, and boy, Job just kind of, man, made that introduction to this message this morning, if you will. But you just keep on being faithful. You know, devil throw anything he can. You know, he may throw a snowstorm, and I understand why a church could be down on a day like this, but he may throw a snowstorm. He may throw many different avenues. It doesn't matter what it is that'll keep us from being where we ought to be. You just be faithful, and God will bless you for your faithfulness. Children, you keep on obeying. You resolve, I'm going to obey mom and dad this year. I'm not going to rebel this year. I'm going to do right by listening to my mom and dad this year. That's all introduction. Let me get right to the message. David, the psalmist here, shows his resolve. He expresses his resolve with the words, I will, in this chapter. With the words, I will. It doesn't say, you know, it shows that he's decided that I will. It doesn't say perhaps. It doesn't say, well, I might. It doesn't say if the day is good, I will. It doesn't give any conditions, but he says several different times here that I will. Let's look at this chapter at the I wills of David here this morning. Some resolves for the new year. Number one, he writes in verse number 7, our text verse number 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will rejoice, in other words, I will praise thee. He will be happy. He decided, I'm going to be happy with what God has done for me. I'm going to be happy in my salvation. You know what? You're saved this morning. Boy, that's enough reason to be happy. Amen. You know, you don't have hell to worry about because you're saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. Your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise the Lord. David says here, I'm resolved. I will rejoice. I will praise thee. I will be happy with what God has given me. You know, instead of grumbling over what we do have or what we don't have or whatever, why don't we just rejoice in what God has given us materially and spiritually? You know, I'm talking about material, the stuff that you've got right now. You know, it seems like we always want more. You know, I wish I had what my neighbor has. You know, the truth of the matter is, you may wish you had what your neighbor has, but you probably don't want the payments that they got. You know what I mean? But the truth of the matter, I'm talking about that stuff. Boy, rejoice in your car. Rejoice in the fact that you got here this morning in a car. You say, well, you don't understand. It's got 4 bald tires. Well, it got you here. You don't understand. Well, it's a hit or miss start. You know, once in a while, I know I've been there and kind of am there once in a while. You just don't know sometimes when the car may start. It's got this little electrical problem. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you just don't know. I remember illustration here a little bit. I'm doing really well, okay? But years ago, we bought this van, this 7-passenger van. Boy, it seems like we've had a van forever. And finally, we got rid of the van. Amen? It's okay. Vans are nice. But, you know, just the minivans. Anyways. But we bought this Dodge Caravan several years ago. And, you know, it was fairly new. It was a used car, but it was fairly new. And I remember, I think the first time it happened, we went and got our taxes done, and that car didn't start. Remember that, Mrs. Weeks? You know, that car didn't start. Just all of a sudden, fairly new car. We just bought it. You know, and when you buy something and it's almost new, it was a couple years old, very low miles and so forth, and it doesn't start, you almost start thinking, what, you want to just start punching the thing or kicking the thing, but it didn't start. And we had to have it towed because it was something electrical and so forth and so on. And for years, now sometimes it would go for a long time, but for years you just never knew. You just never knew where that car was going to stick you. You might be at the mall. The ladies like that if it stuck you there. That it might be at the mall. It might be here or there. You just didn't know. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it's easy to go ahead and grumble about the things that we do and do not have. But the truth is sometimes we grumble about the things that we do have. You know what? God's given you a vehicle. If it does start and get you from point A to point B, praise the Lord. Rejoice in it. You know, thank God for that car. I know I'm being specific. I know this is very practical. Thank God for the food you have. Well, you don't understand. It's canned. Good. Still food. You know, I'd rather have it fresh from the garden. Okay, that's fine. If you can't have a fresh a garden, that's okay. But thank God for the food that you have. Thank God for the clothes that you wear, whether it be Walmart, whether it be Salvation Army, whether it be Savers or Macy's or JCPenney. Praise God. Well, you know, I got to, you know, especially the younger generation of today, well, I got to have a certain brand of clothes. You don't got to have a certain brand of clothes. Let me just say this, and I know I'll make some of the young people mad about this, but you don't got to have a certain brand of clothes. You know, we feel like, you know, and we want to go ahead and go to mom and daddy. We just will go ahead and pout and fuss and spume and so forth because we don't have this kind of sneaker. We don't have this brand of clothes. We don't have that kind of shirt and so forth. And praise the Lord if you get that and your mom and daddy loves you enough to go ahead and get it if they can. But don't you go ahead and backtalk them if they can't go ahead and spend the big bucks on your certain brand of clothes. Well, you ought to praise God for the clothes that you have on your back. Thank God for the provision. You know, David said, I will rejoice. He's going to be happy. He's going to be excited. He didn't sit there and say, well, I might rejoice. I will rejoice once I get what I want. No, he says he's going to go ahead and rejoice. He rejoiced. Rejoice in what God has given you, your clothes, the roof over your head. It's an apartment. Praise the Lord. It's a rental house. Well, amen. It's a house and I got a mortgage. Well, amen. Well, thank God for the roof that you have. It's a house and it's paid for. Amen. That's even better. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, thank God for the roof over your head. Thank God for a job to go ahead and help pay for your bills. Well, my job just is not good enough. Well, you just go ahead and you give it all you got. And if you got to get a second job or while you're giving all you got at this job, stop your grumbling. And if you got to look for a different career, then go ahead and look. But you don't grumble with what God's given you. Don't grumble. You know what? Praise the Lord for that job. Praise the Lord for the paycheck. Thank God that your boss had an interview at the job that you're grumbling about, said, you know what? I like your credentials. I'm going to hire you. And then we get there and we realize we were treated unfairly or this just isn't right or I didn't get the raise or they missed me or whatever. The truth is, hey, you know what? Thank God for that job. Thank God for the finances to pay your bills. Thank God for your job. Thank God for your health. Well, you ought to praise God for your health now if you got it. Boy, thank God every day, man, you get up and you get to put your clothes on, go to work, and you get to walk, you get to work. You know, thank God for that. Thank God for your health. You know, spiritually, I will rejoice. Hey, thank God for the preserved Word of God in the King James Bible. Boy, thank God for a Bible-believing, independent Baptist church that, yes, it does tell it like it is. Boy, you know what? We need to get back to that. We need to stop watering down the message. We need to go ahead and just preach the Word of God as it is and preach against sin and preach about the love of God and preach about salvation. Thank God for your church. Thank God for your salvation. Rejoice in your being saved this morning. You say, well, you don't understand. I got up and it was snowing. I'd rather be down in Florida where it wasn't snowing. Let me tell you something. They have their weather struggles too. You know, they have their hurricanes. Well, I want to live in the Midwest where it's all flat. They get their tornadoes. Been there. Saw one. Hey, what I'm saying is be happy with your church. Be excited about your salvation. Be excited about that ministry. But be excited about the ministry that God has put you in. That Sunday school class. Well, you know what? This year, you know, maybe, you know, and after you do something, it can be, if you're not careful, same old, same old. Well, you ought to step into your class next week like it's the newest thing, the biggest thing in the world. It's new. Boy, you ought to just decide, I'm going to step in, and I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to make my class exciting, and I'm going to go ahead and be the teacher that's exciting. I'm going to make it exciting. I'm going to ride that bus, and I'm going to get excited. I'm going to sing the songs. I'll yell and scream with the kids, and whatever it takes to go ahead and make them happy and excited for the Lord. Boy, I love to hear them kids sing, amen? You know what, leader, you go ahead and you get excited about the things of God. You know what, they'll get excited too. You know, some people wonder, how in the world, Pastor, do you have the energy? I really don't. You know, when you see me running around, especially BBS, let me tell you something. After 5 weeks of that, I was looking forward to bed. I was. Come on now. You can amen. All right? You've been there. And you are there. We all get tired. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? It's worth it all. You know, how is it that you can go ahead and get excited about your ministry? Hey, you need the power of God on your life. You need God to give you the strength to go ahead and be happy and be excited about whatever God is giving you. If it's mothering, if it's fathering, you be excited about it. Going to church, you be excited about it. You know, I've said it time and time again, but you know what? Mom and dad, leader, you know what? If you don't show excitement about going to church, how in the world are your kids going to be excited about it? Is it any wonder why they get to about 12, 13, 14, 15 years old and they're disinterested? Is it any wonder why when they get 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, maybe at one time they were sitting towards the front, and then about 13 years old, they start moving back and back and back. Before you know it, they're on the back row. I'm not preaching to you teenagers today. Don't misunderstand me, but if you're not careful, leaders, they're just back there, they're letting it all go over their head. Hey, you know what? We need to be excited. But rejoice in your ministry. Get excited. You know, mom and dad, you have a ministry. That's your children. You say, well, I don't have a ministry. Yeah. You know what? My family is my ministry. Hey, let me just say this. I don't have a ministry if I don't go ahead and minister to my family first. My family is my ministry. And if I lose my zap and if I lose my zeal and, oh, you know, okay, same old Sunday, if I have that, you know what? How in the world will my kids stay excited? They won't. Truth of the matter is, hey, you know, listen, I will rejoice. Rejoice in that Sunday school. Rejoice in that nursery. Rejoice in the choir. I will rejoice. David said, I will praise thee. Doesn't say I might. Doesn't say if things follow in proper order. No, I will praise. He was determined. He said, number two, Psalm 119:15. I will reflect. Let me just read a couple verses here. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse number 48. Of Psalm 119. My hands also I will lift up thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse number 78. The Bible says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. In all three references, it speaks of meditating. He deals with the source of meditation, which is the Word of God. You know, let me go back a second on this matter of rejoicing. If you're going to go ahead and have a happy life, you've got to go ahead and meditate in this word right here. You got to get in this word right here. If you're going to have a happy life, and by the way, this has all the formulas of being happy right here. Joshua 1:8 teaches the formula for success. You know, and it's all Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And I will meditate therein day and night. You know what? You know, if you're going to have a happy life, you're going to be rejoicing. If you're going to go ahead and even when you have the low times, and you will, it's hard sometimes to get up and, yes, I got another day. It's hard. Boy, you get in the Word of God, this will teach you how to be happy. You know, don't you think that King David, who wrote this chapter here, don't you think that he had his low times? He had many of them. And you read several scriptures here on how he got his strength, but now I will reflect. It refers to meditating. The source of meditation is the Word of God. Seems that we spend more time looking through the newspapers or the magazines and reading discouraging news than we do the Word of God. Hey, you know what? Meditate upon the Word of God. Get into the precious Word of God. God speaks to you, by the way, through his Word. You know, you want to go ahead and know what to do in life, get in the Word. He'll speak to you through his Word. Meditate in the Word of God. Teenager, you want to know what God wants you to do? Hey, I want to be in God's will. What is it? Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Get under the preaching of the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Don't just rely upon the preacher telling you everything. You personally have a Bible. Get in the Word of God. You want to know what God wants you to do? Get in the Word of God. Boy, we're interested in our sports news. We're interested in our sports magazines. We're interested in the newspapers and so forth. But we go ahead and we're interested in reading all of that. But we fail to read the precious Word of God, which will tell us the way to live, which will give us joy, which will tell us how to live, tell us the will of God. Hey, number three, I will remember. In Psalm 119:16, the Bible says this, I need to move right along. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. In verse number 93, the scripture says right here, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. David says here, I will not forget. David decides, I will not forget the word of God. I will not forget God's word. It is a source for strength. You want strength in the weary days, in the hard days. You want strength so you don't become faint-hearted. You want strength so that you can mount up as wings as eagles. Hey, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Don't forget about the Word of God. We must decide not to forget the Word of God. Hey, Psalm 119:28 says this. David writes, my soul melteth for heaviness. He's writing, hey, I have a heavy heart. You know, I'm sad. I've got a heavy heart. I feel like I got so many burdens. And then he cries out, strengthen thou me according to thy word. He says he understood where he's going to get strength. He says, I'm not going to go ahead and forget the word of God each and every day. You know what? You may get up and you may face some tough times. You may not see them coming. Maybe you're in the tough times right now. Hey, if you want strength, hey, don't forget about the very book that's going to give you the strength that you need. Hey, God speaks to you through this book right here. Do you realize we have the most precious relationship with a living God, and he's gone ahead and preserved his word right here? Let's get in it. You realize this morning I am holding the only perfect thing known to man? Not this. This can burn up. I'm not going to try it, but this will burn up. Not my car. This is perfect. And the very perfect word of God, God's love letter to you. God's source of strength for you. God's will, that teaches you God's will, teaches you everything you need to know. But yet we fail to go ahead and get in it. We push it away. Hey, listen, don't forget the word. He says, I will remember, I will not forget. This love letter, I will not forget from God. I'm going to keep on reading it when things are great. I'm going to keep on reading it when things aren't so great. You know, it's easy when things are going good, you're on the mountaintop, it's easy to go ahead and push away God. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know what, even when you are on the mountaintop, number one, you're there for a reason. God put you there. Amen? You know, he's blessing you and so forth, but don't go ahead and push him away during that time. You know, well, you say, well, things are going so... No, well, start storing up on the things of the Word of God so that when the valley and the valley will come, that you be have enough strength to go ahead and get through the valley. Store up on the good days for the bad days. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Memorize the Word of God. And then he says, number next, I'm moving right along. We're doing really, really good. I will run. In verse number 32, the Bible says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. This expression of run speaks of affection or readiness and cheerfulness. You know, there should be nothing dull about the commandments of God to one that loves God. Should be nothing dull about it. You know, when you read the Word of God, you know, is it just, well, I'm fulfilling my duty. Well, if that's the only reason why you're going to read the Word of God, then that's not the worst reason. I thank God you're getting up, and I believe he'll go ahead and use that. But you know what? The Word of God can be so much more enjoyable if you make it alive in your life. You know, how often, and I don't have time, several times, David says, just in that chapter alone, quicken me, according to thy word. He says, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. You know what? You speak to me. You make it alive, if you will. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? You know, when I read the Bible, you know what? When I read the story of David and Goliath, I'm there, man. You know, I know I'm not there because, don't misunderstand me, but I put myself there. You know, that's how it's alive to me. You know, I like the fact that David goes to get 5 smooth stones and he gets there. He was the most unlikely man to do a big job. He went against that big old goon, if you will, and he was defying God. He says, is there not a cause? Nobody else would do it, but David stepped up. Boy, that excites me. You know, I'm there. You know, that's why I can make the Bible interesting to me. I put myself in the shoes, if you will, of the character that I'm reading about or the position or the situation. Hey, you know what? You don't have to let the Word of God be dull. Hey, make it alive in your heart. Make it alive. You know, be there in the lion's den. Not physically. Better, you know, but be there. Think of how Daniel felt. I'm sure, you know what, when he went ahead, and of course he was not going to go ahead and stop praying to God, and as a result he went into the lion's den. We know the story there, but the truth of the matter is he must have had some emotions, just like you and me. Think about you going to the lion's den. I guarantee you there'd be some fear. You know, I put myself in Daniel's shoes there a minute. You know what? He was going to obey God. He wasn't going to stop praying to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who supplied all his needs. He wasn't going to go ahead and do that. But you know what? You know what? I put myself in the emotion that he must have felt. I know I would have been a little nervous. But you know what? Then you see his faith. And you see how his faith was portrayed by God stopping, if you will, the lion's mouths by not chomping them up. You know, make it alive. It doesn't have to be dull. You know, love the Word of God. I put myself at the cross. Sad scene. You know what'll make your salvation exciting? You ought to go to that cross daily. Just put yourself there. Reflect upon it. Think of what the Son of God, Jesus Christ, did for you. Boy, it's sad when you think about it. I put myself there as he was heading for Jerusalem with his disciples. And then he was tried. He comes before Pilate. I mean, I put myself through every scenario. I watch him in my mind put that them putting the crown of thorns on his head, cat of nine tails. And every time I think that, I say, God, Lord Jesus, you did it for me. I think of the nails in his hands and his feet. I think of him being slapped down upon that cross, and I think of the crowd yelling out, crucify him, crucify him. And all the while, as I read that story, read that account of Jesus dying on the cross, being the precious lamb that was slain for our sins, taking away all the sins of the world, I think to myself, he did that for me. Hey, you know what? I will run, he says. I'm not going to let the word of God be dull to me. I will reveal. Psalm 119:46, the Bible says this. Psalm 119:46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will reveal, I will speak of thy testimonies. You know, God's truth from his word so thrilled the life of King David that he felt he had to tell others and testify of God's goodness and kindness and character. You know what? You just think about it. You may be here in the valley this morning. I'm going to take the red mic here. You may be in the valley this morning, but let me tell you something. You if you're there this morning, can I challenge you to do this for a second? Think about all the things that God has done for you. I promise you, if you start thinking about his salvation, you start thinking about this precious word of God, his love letter to you, you start thinking about your church family, you start thinking about your family, you start thinking about what he's provided for you, you start thinking about all that God has done for you. You know what? The truth about it, even though this is big, even though the valley's big, even though you don't always see the way out, let me tell you something. You'll understand God's goodness. God's goodness will give you encouragement. You'll be thinking about how good God has been to you. You know, when I get in the valley, how often whenever I get in the valley, I have to sit there. Sometimes it's easy to think, well, why? But stop and think for just a little while how good God has been to you. You know, David, you know, he was so thrilled by the word of God. He was so thrilled by what God has done for him that he could not help but reveal it and tell others about him. Boy, you know what? Boy, we ought to live the same way. You know, the fact that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven this morning, that if you even if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus would have still died for you. He loves you. He went to the cross for you. And when you think about everything that he did for you, boy, that shouldn't keep us back from not saying it. That should go ahead and open us up and say, hey, lost sinner, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. You know, that's talking about soul. You know what? He was talking. He couldn't help but testify about God's goodness and testify about God's kindness and testify about God's character. Boy, when you think about all that God did for you, boy, you know, don't hold it back. Hey, tell others about him. Tell the lost world about him. Go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, you know what? We have the truth this morning. Why don't we tell others about him? Kind of stagnant. Kind of in our comfort zone. Well, it's cold outside, okay? I'll admit. You know, yesterday morning it was snowing and the roads and everything else. You know, and I tell you what drove me to getting out on my bus route was the fact I hadn't seen my bus kids in three weeks. But you know what? I will have to admit. You know, I thought, well, you know, the roads, this and that. But you know what? I'm going to just say this. You know what helped motivate me? I'm going to tell you what helped motivate me. God did, obviously, but God used a couple people to motivate me yesterday morning. Roger and Ruth. They were here. Now, he'll take me out in the back and shoot me later. But no, but I'm going to just say that I appreciate that motivated me. I said, you know what? If they're going to go out, bless God, I'm going. You know, in a way, I got maybe a little competitive, Brother Roger. I'm not going to let him beat me. I'm going. Hey, but the truth of the matter is, hey, listen,
Listen, you know what? I will reveal. Boy, you ought to reveal the goodness of God. You ought to be busy sowing. You ought to do everything you can to take tracts and pass them out to the lost. Take them to your lost family members. Take them to your lost neighbors. Be part of the soul winning program. Go out Tuesdays with the teenagers. Go out on a Saturday or call me and say, preacher, I want to go out sowing. And hey, you ought to decide, hey, God's been so good to me. Even if I'm in the valley, God's still been good to me. And you know what? Even when I'm in the valley, let me tell you something. You know what encourages me? When I get the gumption and I say, you know, I'm going sowing, and I'm in the valley. That tells me the devil's after me. You know, I'm going to go ahead and kick the devil. I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going sowing. And when I do, that encourages me. That encourages me because I know that whenever I'm in the valley, the devil's there saying, okay, what are you going to do, Sean? What are you going to do? I'm not going to stand for it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to reveal the goodness of God. I'm going to go ahead and combat the old devil by saying, hey, you know, I'm going to get me a handful of tracts. I'm going to go out soul winning. Whether it's cold, whether it's too hot, whether it's too cold, whether it's just right. I don't care what time of day. I don't care how hot it is, how cold it is. I will reveal the goodness of God. David said it. I will speak of thy testimonies. Hey, God, this year, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to be busy speaking about how good you've been to me. I'm going to go ahead and tell people about how good you've been to me. We ought not be ashamed to reveal the salvation of God Almighty. We ought not be ashamed to reveal how good he's been to us because of his saving grace. Think of where you would be this morning again had God not loved you and sent his only son Jesus to die for you. Think about it. Had he not done that, there'd be no, we should have just stayed home and watched sports today. Really? Be no reason to be here. But I thank God that my Bible speaks the truth. And I thank God that he sent his son Jesus. He died on the cross. And you know what? Because of that, I have a responsibility to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I will reveal. Boy, don't be ashamed of it. You know, he says that in verse number 46. Let me read that again. I will reveal that last phrase, and will not be ashamed. God, I'm not going to be ashamed of you. When you think of all that Jesus went through, how embarrassing it is to be hanging basically naked on a cross, how shameful that is. You know, and how often, if we're not careful, you know, and if we go ahead, listen to me, just think of this for a minute. He was never ashamed of you. But we're very careful. Boy, if I go ahead and dress too conservative, if I go ahead and if I carry my Bible, if I'm in the restaurant, man, you know, I got to do that napkin trick and say, dear Jesus, pray for this food, bless this food, amen, pick it up. Hey, listen to me, what I'm trying to say. Why are we ashamed to carry the word of God? Why are we ashamed to go ahead and look the part of a Christian? Why are we ashamed to go ahead and put on the whole armor of God? Is it because we are ashamed? Well, you know, I at the family get-togethers, well, you know, I can't get too much on. You know, I just thank God. You know, my family knows where we stand. They do. And I've got family of all walks of life. But they know where we stand. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Oh, we love each other. We get along fine. But the truth of the matter is I'm not afraid to go ahead and proclaim my Jesus through my testimony, through my outward appearance, through what God has done on the inside. I'm not going to be afraid of it. Hey, we must speak of his testimonies. Hey, number next. I will rest. Verse number 117. I will rest. The Bible says this. Hold thou me up and I shall be safe. I will rest. He says, hold thou me up and I shall be saved. David expressed his confidence in God holding him up, and he knew that those who loved the word of God found themselves possessing great peace. Think about that. You know, David, in his dark times, he knew who to run to. He knew where he could find his rest. He says, I'm going to rest. I will rest. As teaching, hold thou me up. I will rest in God's goodness. I will rest. He'll give me great peace when I'm going through the battle. When you understand that you are in the everlasting, think about this. Every single day, you think about the fact that you are in the everlasting arms of God. you'll have rest. Sometimes I don't think we think that. Sometimes we think that our battle or our struggle or our heartaches too big for God. Huh? The very God that spoke this world into existence? Your financial problem, your health, your whatever the case may be, is that too big for God? No, nothing's too big for God. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. You can rest. I mentioned the other night, New Year's Eve service, preaching on the steps of a good man. You know, I don't know what hard steps that we may face this year. I don't know what hard steps you'll face. Probably it's a good thing we don't know. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I don't know what hard steps we're going to face. I don't know what hard steps this church may face. I don't know what hard steps families will face. I don't know what hard steps a teenager will face. We may face some fear. We may face some illness. We may face some heartache, some heartbreak, some financial problems. But you can rest assured that no matter what we're going through, we're resting in the arms of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Hey, you know what? You can rest this morning. Rest assured that God will take care of you. And then I will respect. Verse number 119, chapter 119, verse 117, same verse, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." That word respect there suggests to us that, or literally means esteem or sense of worth or excellence of something or someone. David, I think, is saying here that God's word is so valuable to me because of the faith it begets, the faint-heartedness it relieves, and the falsehood that it dispels, and the faithful God that it reveals. He held this word, he held God up in great esteem. You know what? We must not let any modernist, we must not let any liberal, we must not let any atheist, we must not let any skeptic ever lessen our faith in the Word of God and the God of this Word right here. Well, you hold Jesus up. You hold God up, the author and finisher of your faith. You hold up the Word of God. You know, you can know that you can trust the King James Bible as the Word of God. You get in the Word of God. You love the Word of God. Don't let anybody lessen your faith in this book right here. We live in the day when church, we live in the day when the Bible reading, we live in the day we're preaching, we live in the day we're soul winning. It's all foolish to the world. And by the way, if we're not careful, we start rubbing up shoulders against with the world, we're going to be doing the same thing that they're thinking. Well, church isn't that important. That walk with God isn't that important. You better be careful. Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Hey, you know, be careful not to be rubbing up against the world, because then you'll start doubting. Does it mean that you lose your salvation? God's, when you ask Jesus come in by faith, he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I have seen Christians, good godly people, start backing off because of whatever. Battles come, so we start getting apprehensive. God, are you really there? God, are you there? Hey, we need resolve this morning. Some resolves for the new year. Determination. I'm going to be determined to be a better church member. I'm going to be determined to be a better pastor. I want to be determined to be a better husband. I want to be determined to be a better father. I want to be determined to be a better worker. I want to be determined to be a better Sunday school teacher or a bus worker or a nursery worker or a choir member. I want to be determined to be a better faithful church member. I want resolve. I'm going to be determined to be the kind of Christian God wants me to be. And if we're going to go ahead and be the kind of godly Christian God wants us to be, we can't do it in our own strength. Boy, that great chapter, Psalm 119, talks all about the Bible. The law, precepts, judgments, on and on and on it goes. Well, hide the Word of God in your heart. Get in the Word of God. David said, "I will rejoice. I will reflect. I will remember. I'm not going to forget the Word. Reflect, I'm going to meditate on His Word. I will run. I will reveal. I'm going to tell others about Him. I will rest in His truth. I will respect. I'm going to make God in His Word precedent in my life this year." You know, What every Christian does is with this book right here will ultimately determine what God does with you. Why? Because God speaks to you through this book right here. He'll use preaching, he'll use many other different forms, but you personally, you know what? You can't just rely upon the preaching of the Word of God 3 days a week, though that's important. I will not water that down one bit. Okay, the Bible talks a lot about preaching. Boy, read the book of Acts and how powerful that is in a Christian's life. But you know what? We must not substitute anything other, and it may be good things. We must not substitute anything other but our personal Bible study. We need to be in the Bible personally. We need to be walking with God. What you do with this book right here this year is going to determine what God's going to do with you this year. I don't know about you, but I want to be a better Christian this year. I want to be better at everything that I do. But I know for me to go ahead and fulfill or be resolved and be able to make it happen, I've got to stay in this book here. If I'm gonna make it through the valley, I've got to stay in the book. On the mountaintop, you know what? Even though things are easy, you know, it's so easy. Well, you know, I can cut back a little bit on my spiritual. No. You better stay in it even more so. And store up the things. Store it up, because let me tell you something. You're going to need everything that you got when you hit the valley, because the valley will come. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I wish I could preach it, but I can't. I wish every day was going to be just a mountaintop experience for us. But that's not reality, is it, church? I wish it was. I hurt when you hurt. You call me and tell me this has happened. I hurt with you. I wish I could go ahead and say, man, for all 365 days of 2010 is going to be mountaintop. It's going to be no sickness. There's going to be no money problems. You know, I guess if that's the case, we'd be in heaven anyways. Amen? Hey, one day, all these problems with relationships and money and the car not starting or whatever the case may be, it'll all be gone. But you know what? If you're going to stay faithful, if you're going to keep going as a Christian here on earth, in the ups and downs of life, you got to stay in the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We do thank you for today. We thank you for the preaching of your Word. Thank you for your Word. What a wonderful chapter, Psalm 119, casually reading it this week, and you just spoke to my heart, Lord. And I thank you for the example of David. He says, I will. Not I won't, or I might, or perhaps, or if things are going well. He says, no, I will. I will. I'm going to make it happen. I will. I'll be determined. I'm resolved. I pray to God this church family be resolved to live right, to do right, to stay in your Word, to grow, to decide, I want to grow. I want to be a stronger Christian this year. Maybe we've got to cut out some things, but we got some things that may be hindering our walk with God, but we got to do it in your strength. We need you. God, if our church is going to go ahead and flourish and be the kind of church, boy, God, we got to keep you focal point 100%. I pray, dear God, you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning. I think I'm speaking primarily to the church crowd this morning, but maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I need to be resolved in some things. You know what it is. The Holy Spirit's revealed that to you. But maybe you're here this morning. You just raise your hand in just a moment. You say, preacher, would you just please pray with me? I won't call you by name, but would you just please pray with me about some things? I want to be more resolved this year. I want to make it. I want to be determined. Man, I tried some things last year, and I just kind of failed. And you know, and it might have been because we didn't stick with our walk with God. It might have been we didn't rely upon God to help fulfill some of them necessary things or things that need to be cut away. But preacher, would you please pray with me this morning about it? That's me. That's my hand. Here's my hand. Anybody? There you go. Several hands. Anybody else? Would you just pray with me about some things? Got some things in my life, but I got to be resolved about it. I know that things are being hindered in my life simply because I'm not resolved. I'm not trusting the Lord with all my heart. Anybody else? Okay, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. If you rose your hand a while ago, maybe you need to come to the altar, do some business with God. Whatever the case may be, don't you go ahead and hold back. If God's moving in your heart, if the Holy Spirit of God's moving in your heart, boy, that is a issue for you to move. You move out on the first note as a pianist plays. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. That's it. Raise your hand a moment ago. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but that's it. But I need to be resolved this year. I need to decide I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be faithful. Hey, that's it. That's it.
Brother Robles, would you come up and close in prayer for us? Drive safe going home. I'm shutting down all the preliminary stuff tonight. Nothing at 5:10. No choir this evening. But if you can be here for the evening service tonight, be a precious time. Hope you can be here. And Brother Robles, won't you close in prayer for us? Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this new year you've given us, new opportunities, new challenges. Lord, we thank you for everything you give us and how you brought us through the challenges of last year, Lord, and the same faith that will bring us through the challenges of this year. But help us to have resolve. Help us to be resolved in the area of service, in the area of faithfulness, that, Lord, men may see, Lord, in us a witness of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be safe as we drive home and return again this evening. And help us to be committed, Lord, and Father, in your word, that you will be glorified in all things. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.